Welcome to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the place where teachers from around the world meet to share innovative ideas about music education. Listen and learn as we help you motivate your students, grow your income, expand your studio, and become a more creative piano teacher.
Welcome back to another edition of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, and thanks so much for listening. My name is Tim Topham, and I'm the teacher behind the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the blog at timtopham.com, and the Inner Circle Piano Teaching Community. This is a podcast to listen to if you are interested in teaching in a more contemporary and creative way. Each week, we explore fresh ideas for your teaching and your business. We interview the most interesting and innovative music educators from around the world and give you a regular dose of creative inspiration. Today's show notes and a full transcript are available at timtopham.com/episode74. So today's episode is all about creativity again. This is our classically trained to creative month. And today I'm going to be doing a Q&A session. For those of you who aren't sure what that means, that's a question and answer session. So I've been collecting over the last month and a bit questions that I've been getting from my community and also generally from my email audience about creativity. And I've put them together. I've got around about five or so that I want to answer in today's podcast because I've chosen ones that I think are relevant to teachers everywhere. They're going to be the kinds of things that you're going to be wondering about as well, if I'm not mistaken. So let's get straight into question one. Question one comes from, I've had this question a lot, and I'm just going to boil it down to the question is, I'm not creative, so how am I meant to teach in a creative way? Now, I have to disagree. In my opinion, just as I'm pretty sure that pretty much anyone can sing, I'm pretty sure that anyone can be creative. Now, I know that we've all got our strengths in different areas, and one of my strengths is definitely, making up new things. It's what I love to do, and that's why I love sharing things on this blog. But I don't hold sort of all the keys to a creative mind, and I have a feeling that if you're thinking that you're just not a creative teacher, then chances are it's because of the way you've been taught. And you probably weren't encouraged to express any kind of creative outlet. You weren't shown any tricks about it. And therefore, you feel that your perhaps a more classical training has meant that you really don't have that kind of creative spark. So what I'd like to do is get you to think about any other areas in life in which you actually are creative, because chances are I'd be pretty surprised if you weren't somewhere. Maybe it's in the garden. Maybe it's when you've got a pen or a pencil in your hand and you're just doodling or drawing. Maybe it's when you're exercising and doing some sporting kind of pursuit or yoga or whatever it is. See if you can think of a time and an activity that you do on a reasonably regular basis where you actually are creative, and I bet you can find one. The thing about creativity is that you've just got to start. You've got to just try it out. And I think a great tactic here to convince you that you are creative is to actually just fake it. Fake it until you make it. I know I've heard people say that before, and I think in this regard, it's really, really true. Just fake the creative idea until you make it. And what I mean by that in a piano lesson context is, try out some of these ideas. If you're listening to this podcast, you have probably got a lot of ideas anyway up your sleeve. There's no shortage of ideas around teaching in the world. It's a matter of actually implementing one of those things. And then whether that's a game off bench, or some kind of improvising or creative pursuit at the actual keyboard. The best thing to do is try out someone's idea and then see if you can vamp on it. And what I mean by that is see if you can improvise on the creative idea that you've tried. So if it's an off-bench activity that involves some kind of rhythmic tapping exercise or something like that, then just take it one step further. If you're doing a call and response thing with students where they're clapping a rhythm to you and you're clapping it back, and that's what the instructions were from whoever gave you the idea, then maybe try tapping it. Maybe try humming a note. Maybe play a note on the piano. Just try varying slightly some creative ideas that you've heard about around the traps. I think you'll find that with a little bit of tweaking, you can get creative in your teaching. So question one, or statement number one, I'm not creative. I think anyone can beat this by just having a bit of a go. And you know what? You just have to resign yourself to the fact that you're going to make some mistakes along the way. Some things I try are absolute disasters. And you know what? Thankfully, my students are very welcoming and they don't mind the fact that I'm trying out something new. And I'll find, I would guess that yours will be much the same. They will love the fact that you're just giving something a go, even if it doesn't work too well. It's totally cool. Just, you know, move on to the next thing. All right. Statement number two, or question number two about this is about classically trained musicians. And it goes back a little bit to our first question, but, you know, the statement I hear a lot is that I'm a classically trained musician, therefore I can't be creative. All I know is technique, reading and performance. And what I'd love to say to that is, well, that is pretty much the main reason that I exist and I do what I do, because I know that many, many people are in this boat and I'm here to help you transfer across to that other style of teaching. And I was doing a webinar earlier in this week on teaching the blues. Some of you may have been a part of that webinar. And I wanted to remind everyone that at the start, where when you come to a training like that or a workshop or a conference or whatever it is that's giving you some new ideas, you're effectively at a crossroad and you are getting a whole lot of new information. You can either choose to accept that information and try a new path, or you can continue on doing what you're currently doing. You have to make a commitment to trying something different if you want to make a difference for your students. And so for those of you who are classically trained, I would recommend highly that the first thing you do after listening to this is head to timtopham.com/blues, if you haven't already, B-L-U-E-S. That is where I give you two complete lessons of teaching in a contemporary, creative, improvised way that requires no books, no past experience, no experience on behalf of your students, and is an absolute winning creative lesson. I've tested it many times, it always works, and it's great. So for classically trained teachers, I would recommend that's a great place to start. And just as I mentioned in number one, if you take some of my ideas on board, you'll find that if you open your eyes and your ears to what's going on in a lesson, you can vamp, you can explore, you can expand on what I'm doing. You don't have to stick exactly to my routine, but it's a great way to get started if you're unsure. Okay, the third question that I get a lot is, how am I meant to fit this into a piano lesson? I only have 30 minutes and there's a performance around the corner. They're doing an exam in 2 months. I've got to do some oral training. There's just too much to do. I can't do it, so I won't. Now, I totally get this as well. And I think this is where a little bit of parental training is important. As most of you know, we need to teach our parents just as much as we teach our students sometimes. I've had many occasions where I have to teach parents how to help their students, help their children just get organized, have a timetable for practice. Many parents just don't even realize that that's something that needs to happen. Parents might not realize that they sometimes have to nag and pester and force children to do their practice, a little bit like brushing teeth. So we need to make sure parents are understanding about what we're doing when it comes to creativity, because we need them on side. If you are teaching students whose parents are adamant that their student must do an exam every year without fail and it must be the next hardest one, and regardless of what mark they get, they've got to do another one the next year, then you need to have a serious talk with this parent about the real goals of a music education and whether they actually want their child to continue playing music for the rest of their life or whether they just want them to get a whole lot of bits of paper and quit. Because in all honesty, that's the reality when it comes to students who are put on the exam express. They may get great marks and go through year after year and do all their exams, but without some skills around playing by ear, improvising, playing lead sheets, composing, these students are incredibly unlikely to continue playing for the rest of their life. And that's what we want, right? So parents is one big factor about time in a lesson. You need them on side because it might mean that the student can't do an exam every year. And I would encourage you to consider that. I think it's a great option if you're in either the UK or Australia where we have a very exam-focused system. If you're in somewhere like the US, perhaps where it's more about festivals and performances, then it may be that we need to skip the odd performance so that we can have time to do other things. So time in a lesson needs the parents on side. You also need to decide what you're trying to achieve. If you think it's important for students to be able to do things like read lead sheets, which means they're going to need to know some patterns for left-hand work and be able to perhaps play chords in the right hand as well as a melody. If you think it's important that students are able to improvise in a couple of different styles, maybe a jazz style, maybe a kind of pop style. If you think it's important that they can pick things up by ear and play them, then you must give them time to do these things and you must work with them in lessons on it. If you currently believe that those things are true, that they're the things that you want your students to be able to do, and you're not giving those activities time in a lesson, then you need to rethink what you're doing. And it just is a matter of goal setting. And I talked about this in my podcast at the end of 2016, which was all about coping with overwhelm. One of the biggest issues with a sense of overwhelm is not having clear goals and finding that you're just running around in circles effectively. You're trying every different new thing that comes along or feeling like you can't try any of them and not really getting anywhere. The point is, when it comes to the time that you spend in a lesson and the activities that you do, is that you need to have a goal of why you're teaching and where you're trying to get your students. If you're unsure of your goal or where you're trying to go, then it doesn't matter what activities you do in the lesson. You could be ending up in any direction. And I like likening this to a train on the tracks or off the track for that matter. For as long as you aren't sure of your goal or what you're trying to achieve with students, you're a train, a locomotive on the ground or on one of those turntables in Thomas the Tank Engine. Do you remember those? Going around and around in circles. You've got to start laying tracks in a direction. And in order to know which direction that is, you've got to have a goal. So I really want you to think about what your goal is for your students. And if some of those activities that I just mentioned before, playing from lead sheets, improvising, composing, playing by ear, if these are important factors that you think students should be experiencing and be able to do, then you need to commit time in the lesson for it. If this means changing the way you teach, then you need to have the parents on side. So it's a multi-step process and this won't happen instantly. It could be a process over time. If all of this makes sense, but you're a little bit terrified to make these changes, then what I would suggest you do is find one or two students in your studio who aren't already on that kind of exam express or the performance track, or maybe you're about to lose them because things aren't working so well for them. Make them your case studies in the creative approach and try it out with them. Get the parents on side. They'll be on side. Trust me, if their student is going to quit, they will be on side to do anything to keep them practicing if the parents are supportive. So they are a great way to move forward in this approach. So don't necessarily revolutionize your whole studio and change everything into creativity, tomorrow. That's not the best way to go. If you tend to spend all your lesson time doing these other activities and you realize now that perhaps that's not the best way to go, then just try it with a few different students. Try spending some time differently and see what the outcome is. Okay, question 4 and 5, in fact, are both to do with technology. A question I sometimes get is, I don't know how to be creative because I don't have an iPad. I'm not sure how to use my iPad for being creative. Those are kind of, I'm linking them, I guess, into one question. And it's all about technology. Now, if you have experienced or checked out my blues teaching course, which I mentioned at that link, timtopham.com/blues, you will know that for a good part of the lesson where I introduced the blues, students don't need, and you don't need, technology. While I promote an app called iReel Pro, which I use all the time, it is possible to teach the blues without that backing track. If you're prepared to play along with them and give them a recording or something like that to play along to at home. One of the activities that I give students is often, and you might be able to use this in other contexts, not just the blues, is to record themselves playing a chord progression or part of their piece so that they can then play that back with headphones on and improvise or compose over the top. And that's one way of doing things without technology. So you don't have to have technology to be a creative teacher. I want to make that really, really clear. A lot of the great games and activities that are out there, like Wendy Stevens' Rhythm Cups, for example, or Lila Viss's Bucket Drumming, for both for rhythm activities, they require a book with the information in it and the instructions. They can sometimes make good use of backing tracks, which come associated with it, but they don't need an app or an iPad or a phone as such. So there are plenty of things that you can do, lots and lots of games. I mean, just Google piano teaching games or off-bench games or something like that. You'll come up with lots and lots of fantastic ideas that don't require technology. And some of them don't require anything at all. Some of them may need balloons or dice or whatever it is. A lot of those things we all have anyway. So the second part of that question is the apps that are best. And as I mentioned in my webinar earlier this week, one of the things that teachers, I think, find hardest is when they go to conferences. Pretty much every conference these days has a session on iPad apps, don't they? And I've even taught these sessions before. So I know I've been a contributor to this problem. The problem with those sessions is that, of course, you end up with 50 app recommendations that whoever's presenting says are brilliant. So what I always do is I preface any conversation I'm having about technology with the statement that you need to know what you're trying to build before you open up the toolbox, right? What are you trying to achieve with your student is the first question. What technology or what app can I use to get there is the second part of that, the answer to that question, right? So let's say the question is you want to help your student with sight reading. All right, so now we've got a goal and a direction. So now we can go, okay, well, what app would I use? Well, maybe I use a sight reading app that like Read Ahead that removes the bars as the student plays or even before they play. Maybe that's the skill that you're trying to get across, that students have to read ahead. So there's an app for that. What if you want them to be able to recognize rhythms in a rhythm grid? Well, there's an app for that. I think it's called Read Rhythm. All right. So think about what you're trying to achieve. And the analogy I have is to building a house and having a toolkit. You know, what are you trying to build? If you're trying to build a swimming pool, that's going to be very different to trying to build an engine. What are you trying to build and what tool will you use to get you there? Now, if the question is you're trying to build a more creative student or try to encourage their creativity, then I've got three app recommendations I want to mention now. The first one I mentioned a little bit earlier, and that is an app called iReal Pro. I-R-E-A-L space Pro, P-R-O. Brilliant app for backing tracks via chord progressions. The best way for me to explain this is to show you it in action. And so I recommend, again, you head to that blues course because I actually show you that app on screen and how I use it for blues teaching. Now, keep in mind that that's just one very small use of this app. It's an incredibly brilliant app that enables students to play along to any chord progression, either chord progressions you introduce into it, you write into it, or chord progressions from the music world generally. So right at the beginning, there's another video on my website somewhere. I'll pop the link in the show notes to how to load the chord charts into iReal Pro. And it all happens on the forums. It's all pretty much automated. You go into the app, you click forums, and you can instantly download all the jazz standards, about 1,000 pop songs, etc. in there. And then students can play along to them. Great for improvising, great for reading from chord charts. So iReal Pro, it's one of my top rated recommendations. I use it just about every lesson with the students. The second one I want to mention is called Musi Clock, M-U-S-I Clock. This is another one that I've blogged about before. It's just so much fun. I use this for making scales interesting and helping students understand the relationship between scales and melody. So Music Clock is another backing track app that uses some fairly simple progressions, around 4 to 8 chord progressions in a whole lot of different styles at a whole lot of different speeds. And the very front page is a spinning wheel where you can choose what key they're going to play in. So if your student knows a G major scale pretty well, you can choose G, they can choose the backing track that they like the sound of, and it gives them something to play along to. The best part about that, I mean, that's creative in one sense, but you can then go a step further in two directions. You can either help the student work out the chord progression that Music Clock is actually using and get them to play that and understand it and dissect it, and or you can get them to use the notes of the G major scale or whatever it is and create their own melody using those notes. Because after all, that's where the notes of melodies come from. It's scales, right? So if we're able to make that connection with some pretty funky backing tracks in, as I say, a whole lot of different styles. It's like metal, rock, house, dance. It's all there, jazz. Students will have fun at the same time as learning a whole lot of stuff too. One other app that I have started exploring, I haven't used as much as some other teachers, and I think Leela Viss, my great colleague over in the States in Denver, mentioned this to me once, and it's called Tin Pan Rhythm, T-I-N, Tin Pan Rhythm, or Tin Pan, maybe it's not called Rhythm, Tin Pan something. Anyway, you'd find it if you search for Tin Pan. And this is a great one to use for students who are exploring chord progressions, and it, mainly in a kind of pop style. It allows students, literally, there's, you know, you could say there's 4 chords at the top, so there's 4 blanks, and students can literally drag the chords from the lower part of the screen up into the chord progression, plus play and hear what it sounds like. And they've got some unusual chords and secondary dominants and things like that in there too. So while you might be just starting your creative journey with a student and just using basic triads, totally cool, there's also some variation with that to go a little bit further, a little bit more advanced. And students, of course, once they've set up their chord progression, can either play along to it with chords or they can improvise along to it with some kind of melody. So there are 3 apps that I think are great. Look, there's lots and lots of them, but I know for a fact that you will not waste your money or time on either or any of those apps that I've just mentioned. If you're interested to find out more about the apps that I recommend, then head to my Best iPad Apps for Piano Teachers page. You can either search for that on my blog, or if you go and hover over the blog menu at the top, one of those links in the submenu is iPad apps. So it's a great place to head. I've also got information there about the best iPad to choose and how I set up my iPad and all that kind of stuff. And for those of you who would like more help when it comes to technology, inside my inner circle for members, I have a whole lot of tech how-to videos. So this is videos about how to use technology and also videos of me using technology. So looking over my shoulder, literally at me using the app. And also you can see videos of me teaching in lessons using technology. So that's really, really great. So they're my 5 top questions that I get asked quite regularly in a variety of forums, live events and online and in the community. So I hope that has been helpful for you. Let me quickly summarize and then we'll wrap up. So the first one was, I'm just not a creative person. So I think I've covered that. I reckon we can all be creative, and the best thing to do is just use someone else's ideas and then build on it. I was classically trained, so therefore, you know, I'm a bit of a lost cause is kind of the thing I hear, right? So classically trained, this is what you're on my blog and you're listening to my podcast for, because I'm here to help. This is what my passion is. This is what I love doing, is helping you guys who have that more traditional upbringing and training to break out. So if that's you, keep listening, keep watching what I'm doing, keep joining into my webinars. You will get there. There's no time in a lesson was 3. And I wanted to reiterate the fact that, remember, it's all about what your goals are in a lesson and for your students as to how you spend your time. So if you're finding there's no time in a lesson, then it's just because you haven't prioritized this, because perhaps you haven't thought about whether it's actually important to you. If it is, then I'd seriously get you to reconsider it. And 4 was about, I don't have an iPad, so, you know, what am I meant to do? It's so much easier when you've got some technology. And I've covered that. We don't need technology. It's great. but it's not essential. And my part number five is the people asking me about what apps are best. And I've mentioned the three of the ones that I use and referred you to some other ones. When it comes to technology, just as an aside too, while a lot of the apps are on Apple devices, particularly iPad, and I would strongly encourage anyone who is serious about piano teaching or music education in general, and you're looking to get a tablet, pay the extra and get an iPad, because the apps are purely, they're just designed for musicians and teachers, right? So you will have much more success and you've got much more variety. There are some apps that cross over into Android and other tablets, Samsungs and all that kind of stuff, but it's much more limited. The first one that I did mention in question number five was iReal Pro, and that is definitely an app that works on every device and every system, not just Apple. So keep that one in mind too. Okay, so I hope you've enjoyed today's episode and found that it's sparked your interest a bit, made you think hopefully, and perhaps referred you to some further reading and resources on my blog. Don't forget too that I'm currently offering $100 off an annual Inner Circle membership for listeners of my podcast. So you can just head to the show notes at timtopham.com/episode74 and you'll find all the links from today's episode, a full transcript, and heaps more information. Plus, you'll also find there the coupon code you'll need and where you can sign up for your membership. I do hope you take that opportunity, and I look forward to seeing you inside the community where I can help you one-on-one and with the support of the community to really get creative and take your teaching down a new path. Just before I sign off, I would love for anyone who's listening who hasn't yet done so to leave a review on iTunes. It's a great way to encourage more listeners and to spread the word about this podcast. If you're finding that the episode's useful and you'd like to support that, then please head to timtopham.com/iTunes. where I give you instructions on how you can leave a review. And remember too, on the podcast page, you'll be able to, so any of the show notes pages, you'll be able to see other people's reviews on the right-hand side, so you can get a feeling for what kind of things people say. I do hope you've enjoyed today's episode, and I will see you, or you'll hear me, next week. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
That will conclude this evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. We'd love to help take your teaching to the next level as a member of our supportive community. Use the coupon PIANOPODCAST for $100 off an annual membership of Tim's Inner Circle today. To find out more, head to timtopham.com/community.